Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Welcome to the readings for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Once again, I want to encourage you to get the free booklet we're offering you in this program and have been offering this month, Ralph's booklet entitled The Final Confrontation. I really would urge you to read it. I'd be interested if you want to email me your thoughts and reflections, but I do encourage you, please, to read it. Today, as we look to the readings for this Sunday, we turn to the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 1, and then 8 to 11. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm, and he said, "Who shut within the doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling bands. When I set limits for it, and fastened the bar of its door, and said, 'Thus far you shall come, but no farther, and here shall your proud waves be still.'" The Lord is speaking to Job. Job cannot figure God out. Job cannot figure why God is doing this and not this, allowing this and not that. And Job went through many storms, physically as well as spiritually, intellectually. He went through many storms. And the Lord addressed Job out of one of those storms, and he said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb?" In other words, when I created the face of the earth, and when I gave it water, who determined its limits? Who determined its boundaries? Did you? Are you in charge of creation? The Lord is really, he's really coming down on Job. And if pride or arrogance is one of the difficulties you face in life, read the book of Job, chapters 38 to 42. That was one of the most powerful moments of conversion in my own life. Where were you when I founded the earth? Where were you when I put the clouds in the sky? Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? And in chapter 42, I believe it is, we see Job bowing down finally and said, "I repent in dust and ashes." Job just wanted to get some things straight, and he kept going after the Lord. And he was angry with the Lord because the Lord didn't do the things he wanted the Lord to do. And Job suffered a lot. But God allowed that suffering in order to bring him into a right relationship with him. And that's what God does with us. If we won't simply obey the word, if we go off on our own, he will come after us. He will search us out. And sometimes what happens to us are trials and tribulations, and they're the only things that help us to see the reality. So read Job 38 to 42. Actually, I encourage you to read it out loud. Read it out loud. Ask yourself the questions that God asks Job. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. Whether it's on the sea, whether it's the storms, whether people feel like they're going to die in some kind of a storm, the Lord is merciful and he hushes the storm, brings it to a gentle breeze. And the billows of the sea were stilled. They rejoiced that they were calmed, and he brought them to their desired haven. That's what God wants to do for us. But we have to be willing not to be the vice president, the co-pilot. We have to be willing to be in the position God wants us to be in as his son or daughter, period. And let him lead you. Let him lead you. Second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Look at that verse again. He indeed died for all. Jesus died for every single one of us, so that those who live, that's you and me, those who live, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Am I going to live for God, or am I simply going to live for myself? How many of us in this world live for ourselves? That's it, me, myself, and I. As I've said before, that's the unholy trinity. I want what's good for me. I want for myself what I want for myself. It's all mine. I is the center of my life. I, me, I'm the center. That's where many, many of us are, brothers and sisters. Jesus died for us so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. God has made possible in Christ eternal life for us, but we need to choose that that's the path we want to be on. You don't drift into heaven, brothers and sisters, but you can drift into hell. Heaven requires that you make some decisions about what you believe, about who you are, about why God made you, about what awaits you. Consequently, from now on, says Paul, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Christ changed life for us, brothers and sisters, because he died. His Father created us, and he died that we might have eternal life. God did that for you and me, and yet so many of us say, I don't even believe there is a God. And if there is a God, he's a pretty lousy God. He doesn't care for us very well, because we want things according to our vision, according to our understanding. When in reality, what a disciple does is say, Lord, lead me. Teach me what your priorities are. Show me through your word what should be my priorities, what should be the principles of my life, how I should live in order to gain heaven. Ask God to show you. Ask him to help you. He will, if you are sincere about it. So we need really, brothers and sisters, to ask ourselves, who is the source of my life? Is it me or is it God? And if it's God, then it can't be the priorities and the agenda of the world that I follow. That's what causes us so much problem. I was made for eternity. I was made for eternal life. That's what I was created for. And anything less will eventually either destroy me or consume me. Really. I want his way, his will. He's the one who created me. And I want to follow him because he alone can give me life. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased. There was great calm, and then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, whom even wind and sea obey. They're still trying to figure him out, brothers and sisters. Jesus is here. Here he is in the boat. And a violent storm comes up. And they're terrified. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus was right there with them in the boat, and still they were absolutely terrified. Jesus is right there with you in your boat. When the storms come up, know you are not alone. Do what he asks you to do. Stay close to him. Listen to his voice. Feed on his word. And he will calm the sea. But he's trying to bring us to a place of clearly deciding, "Lord, I will follow you. Please help me and calm the storm. But I will follow you. I will put my trust in you and my faith in you." That's what Jesus was trying to do. He could calm the winds and the storm in a split second. We wanted to see what they would do. Would they turn to him? They were terrified. They tried to handle it themselves first. And when they could no longer, then they woke him. Why don't we ask him at the beginning? All of this, brothers and sisters, all that we're talking here requires faith. God will give it to those who ask for it. God really will give the gift of faith to those who ask for it. I want to encourage you. God has so much for you. God wants to bless you and care for you and heal you and help you to follow him more closely. But you need to make some basic decisions, because he will never force you. Never. Are you going to follow him? Are you going to do it his way? Do you only follow him when things are working fine, and when adversity comes, you reject him? Are you going to be a true follower or not? What are you going to do? What are you going to decide? You need to decide. I would urge you to decide today. St. Catherine of Siena said this, "I want the tree of the cross to be planted in your heart and soul. Conform yourself with Christ crucified. Hide yourself in the wounds of Christ crucified. Bathe in the blood of Christ crucified. Get drunk on Christ crucified. Clothe yourself in him. As Paul says, glory in the cross of Christ crucified. Eat your fill of disgrace and shame and dishonor by suffering for love of Christ crucified. Fasten your heart and your affection to the cross with Christ, for the cross has been made a ship for you and a port that will lead you to the ultimate port, salvation. And the nails have been made keys for you to open the kingdom of heaven. No more sleeping in the bed of indifference. No, fight as a courageous and fearless knight against every adversary, for God will give you the fullness of grace." That's for you, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.